Well, it's great to have our other campuses with us this morning. Welcome, all of you. We're going to have a great time in God's Word. Father, help me to speak today. Your Word is so beautiful, and it's so crucial that we know it, that we understand it. So help every heart to be open, every mind to be at peace. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you always do your job of equipping us and teaching us, showing us, revealing to us. Do that this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to entitle my message, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do a series today. Bam, bam, bam. Three parts to this. They'll all stand alone. But I want to talk about the greatest miracle. Of all the miracles Jesus did, which one is the greatest? And until you know this, it'll stunt your growth. You know, here at our church, as Zach was just sharing and other leaders, every service that we do at every campus we do, we share laugh. L-A-F. We have done that for so many years that if I was to get a TV camera and just point to people and say, do laugh, everybody in the room could do laugh in their own way. Because it's so crucial. Every person that I meet that has made this their home, given their lives to Christ, or begin to come to this church as a Christian, and I ask them, why did you stay? And I ask them top three reasons. The top three reasons, there's two of the three that always change. Some love the kids' ministry. Some, they love the worship and the praise. Some love the spirit of this church. And it'll go up and down. But everybody adds laugh to the list of the reason why they like coming to our church. And today, I want to use that as my launching pad, that laugh is the culture of how we get along. It's of how we, in our church, minister. But it's how Jesus looks at us. Okay? And the Bible says, whosoever can come to Jesus, he'll forgive you. It doesn't just say, this is for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles, this is for people whose lives are only half messed up. He literally teaches us that whosoever comes can find forgiveness and be saved and have a brand new life. It's for whosoever, any color, any background, any sin. Doesn't matter what you've done, all of that, you get to come to Jesus. And this is where we learned laugh. He loves you the way you are, accepts you the way you are, and forgives you for whatever you've done wrong. It's the most amazing part of the gospel, but it's only one third of the gospel. And so if you keep coming here and all you ever do is just enjoy the LAF for the years that are ahead, people will love you, accept you, and forgive you in the middle of all your messes, and continue to love you, accept you, and forgive you in the middle of all of your messes. But let me ask you a question. If you marry somebody and you learn to LAF together, I'm going to love you, honey, the way you are. I'm going to accept you the way you are, sweetie. This is me, and I'm going to forgive you when you hurt me. But they never change. How long will your marriage last? Hey, baby, I know I've made this mistake 3,000 times, but hey, it's me. Love LAF with me. Hey, honey, I know that after a while, it's going to kind of be like, could you at least try to change? Oh, no, LAF. LAF. Whatever we do is cool. God loves us, accepts us, forgives us. Yeah, but you're going to live like garbage the whole time and not know how to walk into some incredible things that are ahead of you. So I love, and we're going to continue to share LAF, LAF and Spirit Contemporary. But today, I want to share some things with you. And a lot of things I've taught on before, often when I teach on it, I'll bring it from a different perspective. Okay? You know, the guy standing behind the elephant and the guy standing in front of the elephant, when asked to describe the elephant, both have different stories. Okay? The back of the elephant looks a whole lot different than the front of the elephant for the same elephant. And so we often, in how we were raised, we look at, you know, the truth of God's word and who Jesus is and all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, to the same incredible revelation, you come at it from a different angle. And it's stunning, and it just makes your whole life change. And so to all of you brand new believers, this is one of the crucial teachings you'll ever get. To all of you mature believers who think you know the word for decades, and you're just kind of just, you know, I know the word. I hope I can touch something deep within you. that makes you realize, until I understand this, I'll just plateau somewhere in my life. You know, as I travel, one of the things that I that people ask me the most, both from the secular businesses to churches to ministries, is how to move past a certain set point. Okay, everybody seems to hit a certain set point, relationally, business, finance, emotionally, the church, your department. It doesn't matter what you're running, you'll hit a certain set point where this is where you normally will plateau and stay the rest of your life. But there is no set point with God. And so until we understand and begin to deal with this, you'll find that there's almost no growth in your life. And you know what's the most exciting feeling as a believer? It's learning new things, experiencing new things, and then walking out new things. And they say that one of the top things psychologists tell us is that people begin to struggle with depression when they feel like they're not changing and learning. It's like the same old, same old, same old. Same old, same old. In the Bible, there's a story of a prophet that goes to a king. And I haven't got time to unpack it. I want to move a little pretty quick today. But often the prophets of old would do things that would leave a picture. And so he talked to this king and he told him to grab these arrows in your hand and pretend that you're hitting the enemies of Israel. And he says, and smack the ground with it. And it's kind of a crazy thing. But if you look at the Old Testament, many of the prophets would do things. And this kind of analogy, this kind of thing that they would do was to paint a picture in the eyes of God's people, something they needed to learn. So the king grabbed these arrows and he went boom on the ground. And he went boom on the ground 3 times. And then he looked at the prophet who's supposed to be bringing him a message. And the prophet was upset. What are you doing? King goes, what? You should have smacked it 6 times. Why did you stop at 3? In other words, he was telling this king that when it comes to moving on, when it comes to doing some things in your life, why do people always stop at a certain place? He said, you should have hit it 6 times. You should have kept going. And in the Christian world, I've seen so many people who stop. They don't go all the way. They don't even understand salvation other than laugh and getting forgiven and being able to go to heaven. And they don't realize that salvation, the word, doesn't even just mean being born again. If you say, well, when was I born again? You have the date you got born again. But salvation is encompassing a lot more things than just, you know, fire insurance. And so as we dive into, Jesus did a lot of miracles, a ton of miracles. He raised the dead. Would that be the greatest miracle? Well, that shocks a lot of people because not too many of those miracles happen today. Well, he walked on water. Now, we've never seen that miracle today. We hear some people talk about it. I mean, what was the greatest miracle that Jesus did? And you can examine all the physical miracles. But when you begin to look at the Bible as a whole, the greatest miracle that ever took place that Jesus did was the great exchange. Where he became sin so you could become righteous. Where he became poor so you could be rich. Where he became exhausted from the presence of God so you could be accepted in the presence of God. Where he lost his sonship there. Where he, put it this way, he became a son of man so you could become a son of God. This exchange that took place, so few Christians walk a lot of it out. And so they don't see a regular passion and excitement and a growth. They don't understand the 9 strengths that Holy Spirit brings into your life so that literally you can just rely upon these 9 strengths and they come to you like a fruit growing in your life. So many believers don't move on, understand all the 9 gifts of the Spirit that bring this powerful flow that they don't move on into these things. Christians so often want to be spoon-fed and they don't want to dig deep. I have actually had people tell me a lot of times, I'll say, Pastor, you know, could you tell me a little bit about this? And I'll say, yes, here's a couple of things, but let me tell you, a couple of really great authors is this person and this person. Change your life. I'd rather you read it and just teach on it. And it kind of shocks me because nobody is born with a skill. They develop the skill. Reading's a skill. Learning is a skill. Focusing and getting the word on the inside of you is a skill. And God's word is so gorgeous, so beautiful. It changes everything in your life. The greatest miracle that ever took place was this great exchange. When you look at the life of Jesus, I laugh when I hear people on TV debating the Bible because they don't know it from a hole in the ground. They know the historical Jesus. They'll tell you where he lived. They can even bring it down to when Christmas is, or close to where he was probably born, the very year that he came on the scene. We have other documents that the Romans wrote about Jesus. It's impossible to deny Jesus. The greatest lawyers have picked up, did he resurrect from the dead? And with all the laws of evidence that are used in our court systems today, it is impossible to say he didn't when you have hundreds of people that watched him and handled him after his death. I mean, the list goes on. The historical Jesus was pretty amazing, but the greatest miracle takes place from the incident of the cross where he died to the throne that he ascended to. Herein lies the revelation. You know, the Bible even teaches us that to be saved, you need to look in Romans chapter 10, and where it talks about you must believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. So many people, they just look at the cross and they go, well, I'm forgiven. He died for my sins. I'm making heaven. Okay, that's cool. And so many Christians stop there. You know, and as I teach in different denominations, and, you know, I had the honor the other day of speaking for the Church of God. And every 2 years, they bring their pastors from all over the world in all the countries. And they said, would you just come in and teach us? We want you. And then the general superintendent of the whole move said, I want you to teach us Spirit Contemporary. And so I begin to unpack to all these pastors. And there, so many of them are doctorates and this. And what a joy to just take God's word and begin to unpack it, where they know the word so good you don't have to keep clarifying things. You know what I mean? You can just say it and go bam, 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 and begin to just teach. And the very thing I went for was what Holy Spirit does in our lives today. That we just tend to think, well, you know, LAF, you know, God accepts whosoever. And that's a beautiful thing. But if you don't begin to learn that the revelation that Paul got speaking to Jesus himself, Peter goes, it is so great, it's hard to understand. And when you study the epistles and how God taught Paul all from the Old Testament verses, and what he taught him was that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was going to come. And when he came, everything would change. Today, if you do not read the Bible with Jesus in mind, you will not understand the Bible. If you do not study the Bible, understanding from the cross to the throne that Jesus died for you, he was buried for you, that he rose again for you, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father for you. He's literally our representative, but then at the same time, he exchanged all these things where you died with him, where you were buried with him, where you rose again with him, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father with him. People stop at the cross. In fact, and it talks about the message of the cross is where the power of God is for Christians. But when it says that, it's talking about this entire revelation of from the cross to the throne. When you do not understand the resurrection, you're forgiven, but you're still stuck in your old nature. It's how you believe. But when you understand the resurrection and you begin to recognize that the cross is beautiful, but don't stop there. Move on and recognize the old nature that you had was buried forever. And that you rose again triumphant. You rose again with the presence of God on the inside of your spirit. And it's sealed in your spirit. And that as you begin to study the word, you're going to discover that even when you make mistakes and you sin, and the word sin, most uses hamartia in the Bible. And it means missing the mark for the prize of God's best in your life. Don't stop here where you are. For those who have learned and grown in the word to a certain degree, let me just say, the miraculous that impacts your life, You, your marriage, your relationships, generations. So that it goes from your kids to your grandkids. This miracle working power will not begin to manifest itself in your life until you grow in faith. But faith, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and understanding the word. Well, so we just think, well, we've got to go deeper. So I got all these friends who are getting all these degrees and doctorates in Hebrew and Greek. And I say, well, good for you. But why would you spend years when you can just, you know, and I know some of them need to, because we need to have some great people there. But when it comes to pastors, they can learn all this stuff. And I'll still sit down with people and say, do you understand the cross to the throne? Well, you know, not really. It's kind of nebulous. It is and it isn't. As you begin to get into God's word, and it begins to show you that the greatest exchange that ever took place was between Jesus and you and I. Salvation is about an exchange. In John 10, it tells us that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Are you having abundant life in every area of your life? When I bring this up, people will tell me, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I totally, when you believe that, you allow the enemy to come in through your beliefs. And some area will go, well, it's okay over here. I guess it's not quite where I want to be. I need to learn to be content. The Bible is saying, fight! Not devils, not God. To stay in faith, to grow in faith. Timothy brings that out. Fight the good fight of faith. Grow. Get your mind in God's word. The word of God has this incredible ability. You know, you say, well, what's the truth of that elephant? One guy's at the front, one guy's at the back. You know, what is that elephant? Well, that's just an appearance. One guy, this is my truth. The other guy says, well, this is my truth. And that's where people are going because they feel like, you know, we both sat through that storm. What's your truth? Well, my truth was the lightning flashed and you know, it's just the other guy says, man, when it starts to rain, I love sitting in a gazebo with a screen on there because I love the sound of rain. I love the lightning. I could just sit there and read a book for hours. So that's your truth and this is your truth. I understand where you're coming from when we deal with perception. But listen to me. There is a truth. God's truth. This truth is the principles that run the physical realm, the principles that run the mental realm, the principles that run the spirit realm. And if you don't learn these principles and you don't learn the truth, it's the truth that will set you free and you will know the truth. In John 8:32, and the truth will set you free. There are people in this room right now, and by just stuff that we've taken over the years of polling, we know the majority feel stuck. And you're looking for some new teaching, some kind of new thing that's going to break you through. You know, of all the places I've gone, I've not experienced too many breakthroughs where all of a sudden things happen. I've just done incremental growth. I just kept growing me, growing my team, growing the church. And then we move the thing out and start going into other languages, going on television. We're broadening the baseline, always reaching out. And this thing about breakthroughs, and so you've got to be careful sitting around waiting for your ship to come in, whatever is that next level. You'll be old and gray. And you'll still be at the wrong dock because it's not the ship coming to you. It's you going into God's word and seeing clearer who you are. You don't have to work. It's not works as in I have to earn it, but faith is an awareness. And I just want to challenge you today that you need to understand what took place. If there's some place you need to study as mature believers, if there's some place that you need to study as young believers, it's what took place from the cross to the throne. When he died on the cross, where did he go for 3 days? Where was he for 3 days? Oh, this is a huge argument. Did he become sin? There's a whole group of people, scholars who go, don't you ever say the Son of God could become sin. I didn't. The Bible says he became sin. Then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if he took the sin of the world and he became sin, what happened for those 3 days? And then you start talking about how he suffered in our place. He went to hell in our place. He arose again. It talks about him going to heaven and purifying the instruments of worship in heaven. Like when you begin to unpack this, it's this incredible teaching that most back away from, and they'd like you just to stay at laugh. God loves me. God accepts me. God forgives me. He loves me the way I am and all my messes. He accepts me the way I am with all my messes. But you know what? I get tired of not changing and growing. Kids are so lit up when you see a little six-year-old and a seven-year-old. Yee-haw, I'm awake now. And they're learning nonstop. What's that mean, Pops? And how come this? And what's that? And why did this? And why? Nonstop, all you new parents. And Graham is why? And their little mind is just hungry. And as long as they're learning, there's this passion and there's this excitement. And then we get to be older. And none of us wants to show our ignorance. So we smile and nod. Good one. Yeah, so good. Yeah. And then we've left behind the fact that it'll take God forever just to show you his incredible brilliance and all that could happen in your life. You know, in 1 John 4:17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world." When you take life and you stay there, you don't realize that the very sin that's destroying your life that Jesus and his church just love you and accept you for, okay, that very sin is destroying you. And so why don't you move from just being accepted and loved the way you are to now understanding the power of the gospel for you, that you can beat any temptation with the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, that you can develop and walk in such power that you can change other people's lives. Did you know the destiny that God has for you will never be fulfilled if you just focus on your own flesh, reasoning, and mind? The incredible things that are ahead of you were designed by God as you work with Holy Spirit. You and Holy Spirit can do incredible things, but you'll have to learn to rely upon him. You'll have to learn to get into his word. Jesus, the whole message is Jesus. You know, as I study some of the great men of old, and by the way, I consider my dad one of them. I had the joy of being raised by a guy, a pastor, who my entire life, until I came here to be the senior pastor, he was the only pastor, him and mom, that I had. And to watch this relationship, he didn't just know a bunch of principles, he had a relationship with Jesus. And now I watch all these young pastors around the world rising up, and leaders, and that, you know, we'll get into a conference and they want to know, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? What's your assimilation process? What are the systems and structures? How do you raise the money? They want to know all these things. And so in the Q&A, I'll sit and I'll answer questions, and then I'll say, you're all asking the wrong questions. I have found multiple ways to assimilate people, and others are doing it better than me. I have found multiple ways to put in structures and systems, and others do it better than me. I have found multiple ways to raise finances to go do what God has called you to do, and people are doing it better than me. Like, it's systems and structures are important to learn from a managerial perspective, but it is up in this level of knowing Jesus. And he said, my sheep, they know the structures and the systems to get the job done. And he said, my sheep, they know my voice, and they follow me. And another voice, they do not follow. And I think this is at the core. If you could have a relationship with Jesus, then this relationship continues to grow. It's not about who knows the most structures, who knows the most systems. What I try to help people is to understand that I'm not the most brilliant at systems and structures. I'm not the most brilliant at teaching in this. I'm not the wise in this. But I know somebody who is. And this relationship with him, it gives me my self-worth. It's where I draw my joy from. This relationship is my purpose, my meaning. It's the patience, it's the strength, the love. It's this relationship with Jesus, getting to know him. The Apostle Paul, I mean, because of the revelations and the books that Jesus wanted him to write, he had an understanding and talking with Jesus. But at the end of his life, he still went, oh, that I could know him. It's in knowing him. It's a relationship. It's not just systems and structure. Now, get me wrong. I love the kind, if you want to call it the business side, the managerial side, because I've recognized that if you can get a 500 people out to your church, you can get another 500 as long as you can look after the babies, park the cars, finance the buildings. Management and all that is a crucial part of everything that we do, but it's not the start. It's this relationship with Jesus. And as you begin to study Jesus and you understand the great exchange, that Jesus got our sins, we got his righteousness. That Jesus got our sin nature, we got his divine nature. That Jesus received our name, Son of Man, so that we could use the name Jesus as an attorney, because we're children of God. Jesus gets our sickness and disease, and we get his health and life. Jesus gets our poverty, we get his prosperity. You know, that Jesus got the curse of the law, we get the blessings of Abraham. That Jesus was forsaken as a son, we become sons. When you begin to see what Jesus has done, he experienced rejection from Father's presence so we could have fellowship with God's presence. This thing about Jesus, knowing him, and then loving God's word, I just want to challenge you to, please, my time is up, but don't stop where you are. Don't stop where you are. You've plateaued. You're working what you know. But get to know Jesus. As you begin to look at from the cross, as you know, years ago when I studied the cross to the throne, and I began to go through the Old Testament and the New Testament and the epistles and the minor prophets and realized what Jesus did for me. All of a sudden, I started to fall in love with him. I would watch my dad, and he would go, oh, don't you just love Jesus? And I go, I guess, what does that mean? Is it a tingle in the back of your neck? Is it kind of a what do you mean? Because he had this love for Jesus that was just captivating. And I had a love for the word, but I was all into systems and structures and gifts and all the things that I could do and leadership and management, and which was a part of what God's called me to do. But every one of us, none of us are gifted at building a relationship. There, we each must learn for ourselves. Okay? My marriage, my family, my kids, everyone thinks that the gift God's placed within me to lead his churches, a television station, that the giftedness that he gave me and the skills that we've done, that I can use this on my family. Are you kidding me? When I go home, Sally doesn't bow at the waist and say, the most honorable bishop has entered the house. My kids don't just kiss the ring and go, yes, Father, dearest, most anointest man of God, we will obey you. There is none of that, okay? My home is a real place where we had to build relationship in our marriage. We built relationship with each of our kids, each of our son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, because it's the relationship that makes everything work well. The rest you can figure out. If you love someone and you work with someone, you can design systems and you can put in structures and principles and all that, but it's the relationship. Where's your relationship with Jesus? And I want to challenge you, if you've gotten too works-focused, If today you're saying, well, what do I need to do, Leon, to get to that next level? Maybe it's not what you need to do as much as it pursue Jesus and have that friendship. And then as you do that, you'll find that like John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth. And the truth will bring freedom from wherever you're stuck. If your marriage is stuck, if your relationship with God is stuck, if you're not stuck in business, you're stuck, you just don't sense that the things God called you to are manifesting in your life, you feel stuck. It's the truth that sets you free. The truth of Jesus that sets you free. I'm going to dive into this more on the second and third services and just begin to unpack and go to the verses that show this is what he did here. And so that by the end of today, and just encourage you to get a hold of the rest of these. Because as you begin to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith, many of you are believing God for things and you've started a journey of miracles. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's a healing, maybe it's finances, but he's the author and the finisher. You know, there's so many people who are unfinished. Many of the leaders in the Old Testament and in the New never finished their job. Joshua was supposed to go into the promised land. Moses didn't finish his job and he died outside of the promised land. Then along comes Joshua and he's supposed to take the children of Israel into the promised land and they are supposed to take mountain after mountain. And as you study the Bible, he didn't finish his job. As you go into many of the leaders in the Old Testament, you know, like Saul, he was an amazing anointed man, didn't finish his job, lost it. And then as you go to David and you just see, we have Jesus inside of us, his presence, his spirit. You don't have to plateau. You don't have to get stuck somewhere because it's not up to you. It's Jesus. He qualifies you. This great exchange, his presence, his power, his love, his sonship, his access to the throne of God, all of these beautiful things, and there's tons more that I could list, were all provided for you and qualified for you by Jesus. Please don't stay where you are. The world needs to see you continue to grow. Salvation is a done thing. Yes, you're saved. But the word salvation is an everyday word, because it even says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It talks about a future salvation in some cases. Does that mean we're not saved? No. It means every day God's word is going to take you to places that excite you, and the passion and the joy of reaching out and getting the harvest off, being a part of a church where it's about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, touching a nation, the world for Jesus. Don't get too focused on yourself. Father, I pray you touch each person here. Lord, today I pray that something deep within them, that there'll be a spark that goes off, that I've given in. I've plateaued. I have not pushed things through. I've not gone all the way. I'm not moving on into what you have for me. And Lord, I can't blame anybody around me. It's just me and Jesus. Father, I pray that you touch every person. That, Father, their life will become ignited by a joy, a love, and a knowing Jesus greater and greater every day. Every head bowed for just a moment. For those who would say, Pastor, I don't even know if I know Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I want to close my message down in a powerful prayer. Because the greatest miracle that ever took place on the planet wasn't the things Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was this great exchange that won the human race so that anybody who believed on Him could have literally a new life. They could be born again. They could start fresh, new, and then God would take them through every chapter of their lives. This is what's for you. So if you don't know Jesus, or you're not sure, I'm going to lead everybody right from their seats, all of you, in this incredible prayer. But if you'd say to me, Leon, include me, because I need to get right with God. Include me. I'm not sure that I'm a follower of Christ, that I am forgiven. If you're not sure, or you know, this is for you. Before I pray, all over the auditorium, if you'd say, please include me today, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Slip your hands up all over the auditorium right now, quickly. Just slip up, give me a wave, put it right back down. Thank you. Others, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Give me a quick wave. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? Just say, yes, Pastor. Include me. Thank you. Those watching right now on our other campuses, there's leaders at the front right now for the most critical part of this message. The greatest miracle that ever took place is what Jesus did from the cross to the throne, so you could have an incredible life of meaning and purpose. Raise your hand right now towards that guy. I'm going to wait like 3 seconds. Just don't miss this. He's looking for your hand. The leader at the front, just wave right now. Let's all pray with these amazing folks. Thank you for the other hands that are going up. Wonderful. Let's all pray together the prayer that only Jesus made possible. And it goes like this. Just say, Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place and exchanged all of his goodness for me. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. From today and on, I'm following you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how wonderful that is.